All right, fighters, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. Today's guest is somebody that I really believe is going to add a lot of value to your life if you stick around with us and check some things out and hit the link that I'm going to share with you here in a minute. But give this podcast a listen, because as a contractor, getting your team to be proactive and consistent, right, produce consistent results can be a huge hurdle to so many of you guys, right? But I want you to ask yourself this question. What would it be like if everyone on your team functioned with a sense of ownership and commitment? And that's what we're going to talk about today with my friend, Vicki Suter. She's been helping contractors for years, for 25 years, take ownership and initiative in ways that make your people step up to the plate and really act more like a partner instead of just a helper. And on April 14th and 15th, she's doing a webinar that I want to encourage you guys to jump on. It's a live webinar. She's going to teach you the secret to getting your team to take more initiative and ownership and do the damn job. Okay. So if you go to, and you could click this in the show notes. If you go to suterbusinessbuilders.com/Tom, you'll be able to register for this webinar and get some more information on it and all that good stuff. So guys, jump on this webinar. I'm telling you right now, if you struggle with creating job descriptions, if you struggle with building a team that produces consistent results, and shit, if you need help even knowing what those results should be, then you need to be on this training that Vicky's going to do. So anyway, you guys rock, hit the link, suterbusinessbuilders.com/Tom. And with that, here's my little talk with Vicki. Vicki, welcome to the Contractor Fight. How you doing?
Good, good. It's great to be here.
How's Kansas?
Kansas is sunny and 70 and 50 mile an hour winds today.
Sounds like Colorado. It's supposed to be 75, a high today in the Springs, and with a wind and fire advisory. So there you go. Yeah, great. More fires in Colorado.
Yeah,
I think it's still a little too wet, but well, I'm excited to talk to you this time around, because I know we're going to dig into a couple things that are near and dear to the hearts of many contractors. One of those is getting to the nitty gritty of why your team is not consistently producing the results you want them to produce. So that's one of the things we're going to cover. We're also going to cover this little, I say little as a joke, this little event that you have coming up online here pretty soon that we'll drop some links and stuff. So so what do you want to tackle first? This is your time today.
My time. Well, yeah. I think a good place to start is really just to talk about why is it that you're struggling, people struggle to get consistent results from their team. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's probably a good place to start.
Well, you know, Vicki, there's nobody that wants to work. Everybody's lazy. You know, I can't count on anyone. No one can do it as good as me. I mean, so why bother with this conversation at all, right?
I love that you started there, right? Because that's a conversation that we have about it, right? It's like, they don't care about my business as much as I do. They're not going to do it as well as I do. I totally hear that a lot of times from new clients when I work with them. And the truth is that what is lacking is your clarity. Like, as a business owner, it's our lack of clarity about what it is that we want to have done that causes us to create this lack of accountability or ownership on behalf of our teams. That's really where the problem lies. And it's not as complicated as people think that it is to actually do that. I mean, I think that a lot of times people conjure up this whole thing of, oh God, I got to write procedures or processes or what have you. And can I share a little story, my story about this?
Absolutely.
So when I, before I started my business, I was a controller for an international training company. And before I started that job, I had managed a few people, but didn't really have a lot of, reported to me and a few other people. But when I started this job, I had five people on my team. And I had never managed that many people. And I found that as I was starting to do this job, I was like working 50, 60 hours a week. And I thought, oh, okay, it's just the adjustment of the job. And then 6 months into it, I'm working 50, 60, 70 hours a week. And I'm like, is there more volume? What's going on? And I just noticed that no matter what I did, I kept like trying to convince people to do their job, or I was micromanaging them to do their job. Or I had all those same conversations in my head about they can't do it as well as I could. I had this other conversation called, I didn't want to look bad. So I didn't want to look like I was screwing up. So I was making sure that I was staying on top of everything that everybody did. And what I ended up doing was spending all of my time micromanaging people in order to try to get it done. And then what I was doing was working these crazy number of hours. And then everybody else was like, really? Like, and then my turnover started going way up. And then it just got worse. And when I left that job, when I started my, well, actually it was when I had my son, I was so relieved. Like, oh my God, I'm so glad I don't have to manage people anymore. Yeah. And I started my own business at the same time. And I was like, the only person I have to depend on is me in order to get it done. Mm-hmm. And in about 4 years into starting my business, I was back to working 50, 60 hours a week. And I really like started my own business so I could be a mom. And so I could have that flexibility and choice about time. And for the same reason a lot of other people do, right? I wanted to do what I love to do. I wanted to have control over my time. I wanted to be able to make as much money as I wanted to make. But here I was 4 years into it, and I was working nights, and I'd put my son down, and I'd be like, you know, doing work until one in the morning. And then it was just crazy. And I realized that I had to hire somebody, and I was really scared because I thought, I suck at hiring people. I suck at managing people. I just like, it was not a fun experience when I worked, you know, when I had people working for me before. But I also like had this realization moment of, I got to put on my big girl pants and go, if you're going to grow your business, you're going to have to figure this out. And so I did all this stuff of writing up a, you know, a posting and like, what are all the tasks somebody has to do? And I went and hired, you know, interviewed a bunch of people, and I hired this woman, Beth, and she just like fit the bill perfectly. I thought, oh, it's going to be different this time. It's really going to work out. But after, you know, so like after the training period and I sent her out, start meeting with clients, I start getting calls from clients about, you know, hey, she doesn't do it quite the way that you do it. She's not asking me the questions you're asking. She's not, you know, really, you know, investing the time. And so like, as those problems started to happen, I was like, double down on, all right, I got to pay more attention. I got to spend more time with her. I've got to like check her work more. And so I started spending like an hour and a half to check her work and go through it with her, what was taking 2 hours to go through when she was working with the client. And before you know it, I'm back to, you know, I'm still at like 50, 60 hours a week. And I thought, I'm about 4 months into it. And I went, well, this is looking a lot like my life has looked before when I managed people.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm smart enough to know at that point that like, hey, if you keep having the same problem over and over again with different people, you got to look what the problem is.
Yeah.
And it was around that time I was reading Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And as I was reading the book, like the lights went on for me and I went, oh, you are the problem. You don't know how to lead people.
Yeah.
And it really got me started on this whole journey of looking at like, what's the thing about what motivates people? But more importantly, how do I as a leader set up a game where people can win and people can actually take ownership of their job? And I realized that part of the problem for me and how I was leading and managing was that I was treating people like helpers. I was micromanaging them. I had this whole conversation about they can't do it as well as I could.
Right.
And the really big thing I realized too is that I didn't know how to manage for results. What I knew how to do was to manage for task. And that's the thing that really messes us up. Because if we don't know how to, if we're not clear about, and this was the thing with Beth, is that I wasn't clear about what were the results I wanted her to produce. What I was clear about was what all the tasks I wanted her to do. And so she became a helper. She wasn't really owning the result. And as that light started going on for me, and I started studying, you know, like Dan Pink and Patrick Lencioni and Michael Gerber, like I started, you know, just studying all these people about like, how do you do this? And what I discovered and what I started to shift with Beth, and then when I started to teach clients too, as I was learning, was, hey, you got to be clear about what's the results that you want that person to produce, not just the task. So I started to shift the position agreement I had with Beth to be one of her job description now was about specific results that she had to bring back and report to me, as opposed to me sitting down with her for an hour and a half about how she was getting her job done. And that there was, and then I started to go, okay, so I had to really think about and spend time looking at, and this is what, you know, I've done with a lot of contractors over the years too. It's like, what do you need to be pay attention to? What are the results that you want, as opposed to just the tasks that you want somebody to do? And then how do you create a feedback system where they can own and be responsible for those results? And then B, that they are in control of the results they produce. So this is an interesting thing because, you know, one of the things I had to go through with Beth and that I've seen a lot of clients go through too is, how do you do that thing where I tell somebody what to do and then I either micromanage them to do it or I completely abdicate, right? And then we're like, screw, because what happens is we abdicate and then things break down and we're like, oh yeah. Like, and then we keep having conversations again and again about the breakdown, as opposed to looking at like how, what's the criteria for success. And as I started to shift this, I'll just say, you know, Beth ended up working for me for 10 years. She was one of the best employees that I had. And as I transformed my set of practices and I started to teach it with clients, and I also started to notice this huge change in clients' ability to grow their business, to be able to, you know, spend less time working. I, in the 2 years after I hired Beth, I went from working 50 to 60 hours a week to working 30 hours a week. And I was making twice as much money with one person added to my team. And like, it was huge because I was like, that's my, you know, that was like, it was so evident that it was possible to do if I shifted my practices as a leader. And so as I say, you know, I've taught a lot of contractors about that over the years too. And I've seen repeatedly how it's absolutely possible and doable when you know the right things to pay attention to.
You know, I love that story. And I love the happy ending that Beth was with you for 10 years or so, because that, I take that all the way back to the fact that you hired a person of right character. Right. Like, and that's where so many people go wrong is they're like, they hire somebody because they need to just fill a seat instead of hiring the person that's going to be good for their culture. You know, I've made a couple, three hires here in the last few months in the contractor fight. And, you know, we go through this whole process and it all starts with our values as our, in our company. Like, you know, what, I'll give an example. One of our values is, play the long game. We believe in playing the long game here. We're not butthurt if somebody doesn't want to work with us right now. We're like, cool, we get it. There's no pressure. Like, we're ready when you're ready type thing. The decisions that we make here are long game decisions. They're not, and obviously there's always a decision now and then that you got to make that affects the here and now. And so when we interview, you know, my whole team interviews with me. And, you know, we grade people and stuff. And so a question might be like, hey, Vicky, tell me about a time that you made a decision for the company that maybe hurt right now, but was the best for 2 years down the road. So that's a long game type question. And that's
a great interview question.
Yeah. And that's a process that 99% of contractors don't have a hiring process. And so not that we're going to talk about the hiring process now, but I just want to make the point here that the reason Beth was able to stick it out with you and she was able to grow and develop and lighten your load is you hired the right human being. And I always believe if you hire the right human being together, you guys are going to figure that out. Cause I imagine you two had a lot of talks. You probably had conversations around, hey, what results make sense for your position? What results don't make sense for your position? And that's the second thing that I want to hit on quick is, I don't know when I started doing it, but I don't know, it was 15 years ago or something. I started putting in the job description two things, you know, because we all do the duties and the responsibilities and all that exciting stuff, right? I started putting in how this role contributes to the success of the company. So I wanted people to know, like, you're significant. I'm not just hiring a painter. I'm not just hiring, you know what I mean? But why this matters. And we would describe in detail why this role matters. Yeah. And then the second thing was, we outlined how you will be evaluated, so we know if you're successful or not. And, nice. And so for like a foreman or a crew leader position, you know, we had to maintain a certain gross profit percentage average on the jobs you ran over a quarter's period. If you have a 2-quarter period in a row where you don't hit that, then we're going to have a probation talk, right? We had a quota for additional work orders that was a percentage of the sales. We had a number of reviews or grade cards or whatever it was, like things that were tangible that were in their control. And then we step back, and every week we had a weekly training meeting, and it could be like, how to, you know, here's some word tracks for selling additional work orders. Here's how you deal with a employee that's late. Here's a, you know, like that's where we fail a lot, which is, I know where you're going with all this, is we got to train our people.
Well, what you just talked about is three things that I think are really key, Tom. And the first one is being really clear. So I love that you have in there, like, what's the criteria for success, like in your role, like what's the contribution that your role makes, first of all. So one thing that I think that we completely miss, and I've spent a lot of time studying neuroscience and how the brain works and, you know, what makes us function as human beings. And this is the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Every human being walking the face of the earth wants to have a sense of contribution, belonging, and mattering. We all want to feel like what we do has some mattering in the world. I don't care if you're the guy sweeping out the warehouse, or, you know, you're the CEO. And we think that because, you know, we're the ones generating the money, that we're the ones that only care about that. And it's so not true. So I love that you do that and that you have that as part of your process. The second thing that I really appreciated that you just said is it's specific and it's measurable.
Yeah.
Which contributes to the third thing that you said, is that that means that that employee has control over their destiny. They have control over their ability to impact the results that they have. And they're not just dependent on you being the one to give them feedback based on, I like you, I don't like you.
Right.
You know, it's a good week, it's a bad week. Like, mm-hmm. But that thing about having it be that this is how you can win the game with me. This is how you're going to be evaluated. This is how you can have control over your own destiny. You want to talk about, that's the thing that taps into people's ability to have ownership in their job, because you just told them how to win the game and you gave them a big enough game that's worthwhile mm-hmm. to know the bigger picture of, like, for the sake of what am I doing this? I love that.
I had a landscaper buddy of mine that I worked with. He was a client of mine for a year or so, who he put all this into practice. He tracked, he job costed every project that he did, obviously, which you're supposed to do, but he had this spreadsheet that would, every project was job costed, who the salesperson was, who the foreman was on the job, so he could filter it, right? Mm-hmm. And if you've owned a business, this has happened to you. If you've owned a business and had employees, this has happened to you. At some point, somebody's going to come to you and go, hey, Vicky, I've been doing a really good job. I think I should get more money. That's the criteria. I've been doing a really good job. Problem. And then we go, okay, here's a buck, or no, I don't think you've been doing a good job, right? Whatever it is. We don't have the data. We don't have the specific stuff. So this guy I'm talking about, this guy came into his office and he goes, I want more money. And he goes, cool, I'd love to give you more money. Let's pull up the job cost spreadsheet. And he pulled it up. He filtered all the jobs by this guy. And then he pulled up, and this is on a monitor in his office, and side by side, he put the job description where it said maintain certain gross profit, upsell goal per quarter, you know, whatever it was. And he's like, well, it looks like here that you're about 2% on average lower on gross profit for the projects that you're running. And he says, and you're nowhere near where you need to be on the upsell goal. And so the data was the bad guy. And so he said to him, he says, you get this up and you get this up to the minimum levels that you agreed upon in the job description. I'm happy to give you more money. Yeah. And sure as shit, within like 2.5, 3 months, 4 months ish right in there, this guy got both those metrics up.
Awesome.
And he got a raise because it was 100% in his hands. I have a business partner. I have a business partner in our sales academy, Steve, who, when an employee comes to him and says, hey, I need a new piece of equipment. Hey, I need this. Hey, I need that. He literally says, okay, and gives it to him. So he removes all the excuses of why they can't do their job. That's been one of his philosophies. And now, like you said, it's 100% on you. I've given you the resources, the training, the support. Now prove to me you're a grown up.
Right.
And you're going to do your job.
Yeah. But it also, it's like, it's, do we hold people that way?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, it's like, it's first, what is our mindset as leaders? And do we actually, you know, and there's some heavy lifting in there.
Yeah.
On our part, right?
Yeah.
The heavy lifting is we have to articulate it and be clear about it and have a measurable results. Like we would never say to a homeowner, well, I'll just let you know how much it costs when we're done. And then I'll send you a bill, or I'll let you know what it's going to look like when we're done. Like the first thing that you always do in construction is you go, what's the result we're going to create?
Yeah.
And then you go about creating it. Well, you know, it's the same thing with our teams. Yeah.
So how do you take, let's go to the guy who, God, there's so many different angles we can go. Let's go for the guy who's hiring his first employee. Knowing you know now, what you know now, and assuming that this guy who's listening to us right now, this year, 2021, he's about to hire his first person, and we want to save him some headaches. What are a couple things that come to mind right away to help him start this off right? What's it look like? Because Vicky, we could talk about, and I know I'm squirreling out here, but here's my problem with the e-myth. The e-myth, this was my experience when I read it a million years ago, and I've heard it 1,000 times from contractors who are like, yeah, I know I have to have systems. Yeah, I know I have to have process. How the hell do I do it? Right? It's the how that I really think was missing in that book, or it's just the way I'm wired, right? Because I'm not a detailed person. I'm not a process. I implement processes and I make them work because I'm competitive and I want to win. Right. And so to me, it's a tool to get me there, but I'm not naturally wired. And I think most of our audience is not naturally wired to know how to implement some of this stuff. So brand new business owner, first hire, or not brand new, but first hire, what can we give them right here, right now to save them a bunch of headaches?
There's two things. One is have a job description that clearly lines out not just the tasks you want somebody to do, but the results. Like you were talking about, if I'm hiring a carpenter who is running a project, who is going to be my lead on those jobs, then I'm going to want to make sure that they are clear that we have a margin on hours of keeping a project within a certain number of hours, that you need to review the cost, you know, your job hour burn report every single solitary week and always be looking at projecting out what it's going to take, that you're doing 2-week look aheads with the, you know, maybe with the project manager or the owner, like you're looking out forward. Like there's a specific and a measurable result it's the mechanism for that person to know what's the most important thing I have to pay attention to that's going to let me stay on track with producing a successful job. So as a business owner, your first thing to do is define what those things are. Because otherwise what happens is that we keep our head down and we just work hard and hope that it's all going to turn out.
Yeah.
As opposed to well, what's that criteria? And some of the stuff that you were just talking about, you know, are you, is your job coming in on the target gross profit margin? And that may be more than, you know, if I'm talking to a brand new contractor, they may not be hiring a project manager who's actually accountable for that, or a foreman, but they might be hiring a carpenter. So that carpenter needs to make sure, you know, it could be that all the tags are turned in by Friday so that you can get job costing done accurately. Right. Or that, you know, time cards are absolutely done every day so that it's accurate feedback. Mm-hmm. You know, things like that, that are specific, they're measurable, and that person has some control over. So it'd be the first thing I'd say is be really clear about what's the results you want that person to produce, and write a job description before you ever interview. The second thing is something that you talked about in terms of when you're interviewing, is to ask open-ended questions. Mm-hmm. So if you're hiring a carpenter, yes, hire somebody who's got the right character and the right standards and approach and thinking that's going to be in alignment with what your standards and approach and values are as a business owner. But also, it's like, if you're asking somebody about, who's a finished carpenter, and you ask them a question like, so tell me about how, you know, what's your approach to hanging cabinets? Mm-hmm. Or tell me about how you, you know, how, I don't know, carpentry terminology, all that, like something that has to do with finished carpentry. And then just ask, tell me how, and then shut up. Just like, listen. Yeah. And let them explain, like, tell me about a real job. Because this is what happens, is we get into interviews and then we talk 80% of the time. We let the person talk 20% of the time. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is you don't actually know if they can do their job, because anybody can put anything on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Anybody can say, when you can say, have you had to hang cabinets in a $1 million house? And they go, oh yeah.
Yeah. Do you believe in doing quality work? Yes. Like, what else are they?
What else are they going to say? Right.
Yeah.
So tell me, like, how do you, and that's a good question. Like, so tell me, how do you make sure that that job is done well?
Yeah.
Like, what's your, you know, what's your thinking? Tell me about, and give me real examples. Like, walk me through the last job that you did.
Yeah. My old business partner, one of my old business partners years ago, we were interviewing a guy, and we obviously were really huge on providing great service, right? We believe that it's the things around the paint job, not the paint job, that really make the whole experience, right? Because you're going to get a good paint job when you hire somebody. 99 out of 100 times, the paint job's going to be good. All right. It's where it's the experience, it's communication, it's the cleanup, it's, you know, all the, you know, just our appearance, all those things. Mm-hmm. And so one of the questions he used to ask, instead of going, hey, do you believe that customer service is important? Right. Of course I do. He'd say, give me an example of amazing customer service that you got somewhere. Give me an example of bad customer service. And he wouldn't ask all these. And then another question he would ask is, and I think he morphed it through the years into this one, was, it's been a while since I thought of it, it just came back to me. Tell me what a good paint job is. It was something like that. And if they shared anything about the experience, he knew that we probably had a good person.
Oh, interesting.
Because they intuitively knew it wasn't just the paint job. It was, if they brought up something like, well, you know, you gotta have a nice clean work site, and you have to obviously do a good paint job. But, you know, I think, you know, a lot of times people don't, they don't communicate if the crew's running late, they don't this and that, and it's a big pain in the butt. Like, if they did anything remotely there, we knew that that candidate was ahead of everybody else, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, yeah. And it's getting, you know, part of what you're talking about is that whole thing of getting into somebody's head about how they think.
Right.
Which is the thing that will tell you how they're going to perform. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's funny you just worded it that way, because one of the things I say here all the time is that our thoughts, the way we think, controls what we believe, and what we believe control our actions, and we will never act in conflict with what we truly believe, and our actions will lead to our results. So you just made a connection on the other side of things. You know, normally I go personal development on that, but in this case, this is really cool.
It's a Margaret Thatcher quote, and it is one of my favorite ones, that is exactly that. And the one that she says is at the end is, you know, our thoughts create our destiny.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Because it's true. Yeah. It's like that's really where it all begins. And it's really interesting. You know, I appreciate what you just said about, you know, as a personal development thing. It's just a human being thing, right? It's it's like, and it comes back to that thing, as I, you know, I said about like that we all want to have a sense of contribution, belonging, and mattering. Mm-hmm. I think that it's just a, like, it's an awareness thing. Like, are we thinking just from a, yeah, are we thinking just from the whole of that we're all human beings and we all, like, we're all messy mm-hmm. and we all have, but we all have like a desire to want to do a good job. And then if we are mindful of our internal conversation mm-hmm. and we notice it, then we can also notice how those conversations that are in between our two ears develop our beliefs, and our beliefs are what drive our actions. So it's like, can you interrupt it?
Yeah.
In a way that allows you to produce a different result? Because, you know, it comes back to part of what I was saying earlier. It's like, if you keep having the same breakdown over and over again, but the cast of characters are changing, mm-hmm. you got to look what the common denominator is. And it starts with us, the way, you know, like asking the question, like, how am I thinking about this?
Yeah. It's funny. A lot of us, and I say us, cause I've been there. A lot of us never even consider for a minute that we're the problem with our employees. You know, like, it's these guys.
I didn't for years.
They don't do this. They don't do this. And my question is, when I'm coaching these guys, is always, well, talk to me about how you hire people. Talk to me about how you onboard them. Talk to me about their job descriptions, or what we call in the fight a mastery ladder, which is like, at this level of the company, you need to have these skills, this training, this is what it pays, and here's the tools that you're required to have, like three or four things. And then you want to get to the next level, you got to learn that next set of shit. You know what I mean? So, or I'll say, talk to me about your training. What do your weekly meetings look like? And 9 out of 10 times they're like, yeah, I don't really have that going on. I've been blowing this off. Well, we were having meetings, but now we just have one a quarter. And I'm like, you're having one meeting a quarter? Dude, you need to have a weekly meeting, man.
Yeah.
Weekly. And you need to be touching base with your top people every single day. I mean, that's your job, is to guide them and mentor them and coach them. And I think go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, that whole weekly meeting thing, isn't it like that thing of, they're just like, they got their head down and they're working. What our job as leaders mm-hmm. is to like lift their head up and go, all right, this is your opportunity to be looking forward. Yeah. Like, having that mechanism is the thing that, you know, if I'm a foreman and I know I got a meeting with you on Thursday and I have to have my 2-week look ahead ready on Thursday morning, that's a forced mechanism to, like, that's a gift to me that helps me like stop and like look up and go, where am I going? What, you know, what's in front of me? You want to empower your team to take more ownership, man. That's like that one, just, and I say that to people, like, just do that one thing. Mm-hmm. You do that one thing consistently, you're going to find that people are better at their jobs because you've given them the ability and the structure to like stop and look up and go, what do I need to be paying attention to? What do I need to be focusing on?
Well, oftentimes we will go, all right, I'm going to have these meetings, or I'm going to follow up on the job costing or the look ahead or this and that. And then it's just like with our kids, right? If we're not consistent with it, like if I say, you got to get your grades up and you got to do homework from 6 to 7 every night at the kitchen table, whatever. If I don't enforce that, if I'm tolerating anything other than that, that's sending a message, right? That this is not important. And that's what we do with our employees so many times, is if we're not talking about training, we're not, measuring their metrics like we talked about and those results that we're talking about, all the things that we say are important, the minute we start, like if you go turn your time cards in and you don't get paid, but then you pay them, you just what do they say? Culture is the intersection between what you expect and what you tolerate. That's the culture you create. And so a lot of us don't create a kick-ass culture because we don't do our part in showing that this stuff is important. You know? I mean, I remember there were times that we'd have our guys would be like, well, hey, the office is here and the job's an hour and a half away with traffic, you know? So can we just leave early and go to the job site and skip the weekly meeting? And I'm like, no, Like, and this is way back before like technology was what it was, you know, this is a long time ago. I would have done Zoom or something with them. Right. but if nothing else, we get on a phone call, get on a group phone call and have that meeting, but you have to honor it. You can't just blow it off. Yeah. And that's why I think we lack a lot of consistency with our teams, is we're not consistent with what we say is important, or our actions aren't supporting it.
Right.
So
totally agree.
So Vicki, you got a webinar coming up before we get out of here today. Tell us about that. And I'm going to drop the link for everybody, but I'm curious what this is about and how it's going to help people listening.
So the webinar is how to get your team to take ownership. And we actually talk about writing a job description and how do you approach doing that. And I walk through those steps. And I actually show you an example, and we walk through how do you develop that in that webinar. And then we also talk about what are the key elements of how do you actually implement those position agreements, and then and get buy-in with your team. And then the second thing that we talk about in the webinar is how do you get people to follow through. And what's the reason why people make agreements, they don't keep their agreements, and how do you start to shift that in your practices? You know, we've all been in meetings where people say, yeah, I'm going to do this and this and this, or, you know, you make a request and then it doesn't happen. So we talk about like, how do you shift that? What's the one thing that you can do to start to change that?
Ooh, that sounds like a good webinar, because that's all of us. It's every business right there. You know, we want, you know, we don't drop the ball on these things because we're not capable of doing them. We drop the ball because we don't have a process in place, right? Mm-hmm. And we have so many things running through our brains as a leader every day, and so many responsibilities. We got to sell, we got to market, we got to lead, we got to know the numbers, we got to deal with vendors, insurance, crap, you know, whatever it is as a business owner. And then you go, oh crap, we have a meeting. And then we go into the meeting and we're not prepared for the meeting because we didn't give it any thought other than 5 minutes before the meeting, you know, and that's just one example. I love how you're talking about walking through actually setting up a job description with people. Cause I get that a lot. I mean, you probably do too. People, you know, in our social media and stuff, they're like, hey, does anyone have a job description for a carpenter, you know, apprentice or whatever? And I'm like, let's start with you. Okay. Like, it's your company. So what do you want that person to do? And that's where I think a lot of people, I'm all for like outsourcing stuff. I'm the master of outsourcing, trust me. And I'm all for little hacks and stuff, but I think there's certain parts of our businesses that we just get really lazy with. You know, we don't go, I'm not going to time block an hour or so and sit down and really think about what I want from this position and what the results are. And that time that you spend, that hour or two, is going to make you hundreds of thousands of dollars in the next year or two.
Well, the other thing that does, Tom, is that it that whole being willing to get clear for yourself, that clarity is the thing that gives us more confidence, that lets us take more powerful actions. And whether that clarity is, what do I really want from that job? Or that clarity is, I'm tracking my results and I'm doing job costing. Or that clarity is, I know what my goals are. That clarity gives us more confidence that really like helps us have the ability to take actions that are really going to help us get where we want to go in our business. A couple of things in the webinar that people who attend, I'll actually give people the outline of how to write a good job description. And I give them an outline for the tool for using for their meetings too.
Well, I love that. That's, I know that'll be a huge value to a lot of people. So I will make sure that we drop that link in here in the show notes so people can head over there. So if you're listening to this, scroll down to the show notes. We'll also get it all over our social and stuff like that. Because my goal is to help you max out your webinar on this thing, because this is such a big deal. Like, this is people, you're not going to scale your business. You're not going to get out of the rat race and off the hamster wheel and make real money until you figure out the people game. Yeah. And so that's
why it's your key to your freedom and getting your freaking life back. Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. If you want to stop working so many hours, if you want to make more money, if you want to like love what you do again, that your team is your key.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very real thing for me right now. I just finished, you know, recording season one for this TV show that's coming out in the fall. And Vicky, I left, I want to say November 28th, I hopped on a plane in 2020, flew to LA, and I've been back and forth, and it's end of March right now. I just finished up filming season one on Friday, this past Friday, whatever date that was. And I can tell you that I might have worked in my business, the contractor fight, maybe an average of 4 hours a week for the past 4 or 5 months.
Nice.
Because my team, because nice. I literally disappeared for the most part. And I have two different businesses, the fight and the Contractor Sales Academy. And my teams and partners in both of these companies are so amazing, but it just didn't happen, right? It's been in the works for years getting us to this point. And, you know, you talk about the look ahead meeting. Well, in my business, I look ahead to next year, next fall, what's coming, what's going on in life, what's happening in other opportunities and this and that, they're going to affect this now. And we start putting into practice the things that are going to get our people up to speed so that when that hits, we're not all reactionary and freaking out, you know? So again, it takes that commitment and discipline to sitting down, getting clarity. And then you're good. So anyway, we could beat this up 1,000 times.
We could. But. So by the way, the webinar is April 14th and 15th, either one or the other day, but yeah.
Yep. April 14th or 15th. I'm looking at, well, we'll put the times in there. The times are on the link here. So, Vicky, it's been awesome. I appreciate you being part of the fight and coming on and having this conversation. Like I said, I'm on a personal mission here to help you fill that webinar room and max it out because I know once people get this, life's so much easier for them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And I know you're going to bring the goods and some really good stuff that's going to open their eyes, give them a great template and some of that stuff to help them plug and play.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I really appreciate your partnership. I appreciate being in the journey with you because this is why we do it, right? Like our commitment is to help contractors get their life back and to build businesses that are successful and really like ultimately to raise the bar on this industry. Because contractors are some of the smartest people I know, quite frankly. And 100%. They don't, you know, it's like if we can help them tap into that, what they intrinsically do really well and know every day and apply that when it comes to their teams and their business overall in terms of tracking results and, you know, sales and what have you. It's like, that's all we're doing, right? We're just helping them tap into some of the stuff that they already have skill at and teaching them how to use that in the domain of team or sales or business building.
Well, I love it. Well, aside from the link that I'm going to drop in the show notes, where can people find you and reach out to you and learn more about what you got going on?
Well, Suter Business Builders is my website, Suiter, businessbuilders.com. And I do a weekly blog. And I also wrote the book, The Profit Bleed. You can see over there, how managing margin can save your contracting business. And if people want to email me, if you have a question, feel free to do that. It's Vicky, V-I-C-K-I. At suiterbusinessbuilders.com.
I love it. And just to make it simple, the link for the webinar is suiterbusinessbuilders.com/Tom. If you're listening to this, just do that /Tom. It'll take you right there and you get all signed up. So, well, Vicky, appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
You rock. And with that, we will roll out of here. Travis, bring in the guitars and we'll talk to you guys next time on the Contractor Fight.